For just a few minutes, I will be in Luke 10, that story I read earlier, the story of Martha and Mary and the visit of Jesus to their home. I love this story. Its simplicity, but the incredible priority and necessity that it holds before us. Picture the scene. Jesus arrives in Bethany, along with his small band of disciples, perhaps 12. It's an unexpected visit. That's the obvious flow of thought in the narrative. And Martha, desiring to be a good host and to meet the needs of Jesus and his disciples, busies herself preparing a meal. But Jesus is in the mood of teaching. And so Martha, along with the disciples, takes the posture of humility. She sits at his feet. It is also in those days the posture of a listener, a learner, a child at the feet of a parent, a teacher having his students sit at his feet. And the narrative simply says, Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening to his word. Jesus is teaching. Martha is busy. Mary is contemplative. And Martha doesn't like that. I take up for her. I don't think I would either. But she does something interesting. She goes into the room and interrupts Jesus, challenges his heart. Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work? She doesn't wait for an answer. She gives Jesus a mandate. Tell her to help me. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha. I'll explain at the end that that's a tone of deep love. It's a gentle rebuke. And he says these exact words. In the 10th chapter of Luke and verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. Another version reads, Mary has chosen the one needful thing, and when it's hers forever. And what is that? It is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to the words that come from his lips. And the way we do that today, all of us understand the application of the narrative is that we sit at the feet of Jesus by means of the Word of God, our Bibles. That's how we humble ourselves before him and listen intently to him, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing, reading, thinking about, contemplating the Word of God. So if you were here last Sunday, I started a series of sermons about the Bible. Not its inspiration, not necessarily its authority, not an apologetics series defending its veracity. Rather, a series on how we actually use the Bible. How we think about it and apply it to our daily lives. And in this series of studies that will last 8 or 9 weeks, what I want to talk about is how we are to love and live the Word of God. The psalmist says, Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. Jesus says, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So it's right to say we are to love and we are to live by the truth of God. And so I want us to talk about that. I want us to think about our Bibles, how we read it and meditate in it and pray it into our lives, all dependent on God the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And I want us to think about how we use it and how we live it in the face of temptation and in the pursuit of holiness. My hope is that we will resolve to follow the Bible as our guide through the whole journey of our lives. Let me put it this way. What we need is more of God. What we need is more of Christ, more of the Holy Spirit's power. What we need is more of the gospel, more of the truth that sets us free, as Jesus said. And the way we get these things I'm talking about is that we must be people of the book. As Charles Wesley once cried, "Oh, give me that book. At whatever cost, I must have the book of God." And that is our Bible. Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to look at how to read the Bible and meditate in the Scriptures and pray the truth of God into our lives. One sermon to each theme, all dependent on the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I want us to take those disciplines and press them into a single message. And here's the first thing. We need to read our Bibles. Do we really need to be convinced of this? Okay, maybe some of us do. Jesus is standing in front of a multitude of people. It seems they are a bit confused. So Jesus, as he often did, told a parable. And at the end of the parable, Jesus looks at the multitude and he asks a question. Have you not read this scripture? Have you not read the scriptures of the Old Testament that wonderfully explain my parable? In Matthew's gospel, Jesus looks at another group of people and he says, "You do err not knowing the scriptures." Think about that. You do err, meaning you are living a fraudulent life. Your life is on the wrong path. You do err because you don't know the scriptures. And one more. In John's gospel, Jesus simply admonishes us to search the scriptures. It is abundantly clear, isn't it? Unmistakably clear, isn't it? Jesus expects us to read the scriptures. Or to at least hear the scriptures read. It is a book after all. God has given us a book, and books are for reading and for hearing them read. Whenever I think of the true story, I am always equally rebuked and challenged by it. It's the story of a young man who had just been a Christian for a few short weeks. And he was severely physically damaged in an explosion. His face was marred. His hearing was almost gone. He lost his eyesight and both of his hands. And one of the things that most depressed this young man was that he would not be able to read the Bible for himself. Oh, how he longed to get to know better the one who had saved him. And finally, he heard about a woman who had learned to read Braille using her lips. And so he sent off for some books of the Bible in Braille, but when he pressed the page of Braille to his lips, he discovered that the nerve endings were so damaged that he could barely distinguish the characters. And he was discouraged. until he felt, when he was trying one day to do that, his tongue accidentally touched and felt the Braille characters. And he was so excited, and he actually learned how to read Braille using his tongue. And when his story was written up in an article, by that time he had read through the entire Bible 4 times using his tongue. And if he can do that, and if Jesus says to us, search the Scriptures, certainly we ought to resolve to read and discipline ourselves to read our Bibles, keeping in mind that Jesus himself says to us, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures. I think we know we ought to read this wonderful book that God has given to us. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation day and night. We shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks. Certainly we ought to read it. But then there's that word meditation. And that's the second thing. We need to meditate in the Word of God. Do you remember Joshua? Busy Joshua, trembling Joshua, overwhelmed Joshua. Why? Moses had died. Israel had not yet crossed the Jordan into the land of promise. A new leader was necessary. Joshua is God's choice to succeed Moses. And in the first chapter of the book that bears his name, God comes to Joshua and he says to him, after calling him into service, oh, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. Joshua, be strong and courageous, because he wasn't strong or courageous. And God bolstered his courage by saying, I will always be with you, Joshua. It's no small thing for God to say, I am with you. Because when God says in the Bible he's with us, it means available to us is all his comfort and strength to live for his purposes in glory. I'll be with you, Joshua. But God also gives Joshua something to do. Do you remember it? Joshua 1 verse 8, let me quote it for you. This book of the law, that's the whole Bible that Joshua had available to him at the time, the first 5 books of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is within it. Then your way will be prosperous and successful. Joshua, bury your nose in the book. Think seriously about the book. Think deeply about the book. Joshua, meditate in the Word of God. And that word meditate means to ponder deeply. It means to muse over, to pore over, to think deeply about something. To mull it over. When we meditate, we saturate our minds and we cram our souls with the Word of God. Now let's think about that. Reading and meditation are 2 different disciplines. And both are necessary. We read to get the big picture of the Bible. And the more we read it, as time goes by, we will be overwhelmed with how much God shows us. But we meditate to go deep with God, to see with greater clarity what is on the page of sacred Scripture, so that we have truth to live for God through our day. Reading enables us to see the wonderful redemptive storyline of the Bible, to live in the atmosphere of Scripture, to soak in the glorious vision of God that's on each page. But meditation exposes us to the depths of who God is, what His character is like, and why living for Him matters. And we need both disciplines. Maybe a word picture will help. Reading is like going across a lake in a speedboat. It's fun. It's exciting. It gives you the big picture of the lake. Over here, there are rocks and ledges. Over here, there are trees. In front of us, at a short distance, there is a shore. There is a narrow crest here. We see the lake. Meditation is like going over that same lake slowly in a glass-bottom boat. Just less than a year ago, some of us were on a missions trip to Bali. And three of us took a motorboat a short ways away from shore out into the Pacific. And it was a glass-bottom boat, rocking on the waves, hours for an hour. And we were looking through the the colors that we saw, the variety of species of fish, overwhelming, the plant life, so many colors, so much majesty, so much beauty. We soaked it in. The operator of the boat threw bread in the water. The fish came to the top. But that boat's rocking on the waves. And two of us, not my wife, said, we've had enough of the rocking. But meditation is looking deep and seeing with clarity the beauty and the excellence and the wisdom of God. And we need both. Did you know that more than anything else, when it comes to Scripture, we are commanded in the Bible to meditate on the Word of God? So that's the second thing. Now, here's the picture we have so far. I'm a believer, so I'm a Bible reader. I'm a believer, and I want to see the deep things of God, so I meditate also. Let's go to it. There's a problem with that. There's not a single person in the kingdom of God who is wise enough to get truth out of the Bible, whether reading it or meditating in it, if we are left to ourselves. That brings us to the third truth. We need to read the Bible. We need to meditate in the Word of God, and we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. You remember Jesus. It's the eve of His crucifixion. And then He will return to heaven, and He promises to send us the Holy Spirit, who is Himself God, eternal God, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. And the Spirit will come to reside in the church and to reside in the people of God. And Jesus says He has a special title. And His title is the Spirit of Truth. Boy, that fan is doing a number on my notes, isn't it? It feels good, though. He's the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus says He will guide you into all truth. He will take from what is mine, which is true, and make it known to you. And when you're going through life and you're forgetful, the Holy Spirit will remind you of truth. He's the divine teacher, you see. So when we're reading the Scriptures and thinking seriously and deeply about them, oh, how we need to cry out for the Holy Spirit to teach us. Now, if you are thinking, Mitchell, you're rehashing a major point from last Sunday, glad you remembered. We can never be reminded too much of the utter necessity of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. To come to the Word and to depend on the God of the Word. Open my eyes, cries the psalmist, that I may see wondrous things in your Word. Oh, the psalmist can look at the page and he can see the words printed on it. So when he cries out, open my eyes that I may see wonders in your Word, he is talking about his spiritual eyes. He's saying, oh God, give me insight. Don't let me miss any wonder, because the pages of the Bible are filled with the wonder of all that is true about you. Let me see. And the New Testament answers that it's the Holy Spirit who lets us see. Paul in 2 Timothy 2 verse 7 writes, think over what I say, and he of course is speaking truth, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Who will give you understanding? The preacher? No. Paul himself? No. We are to be faithful in announcing the Word. But it is God Himself who gives the insight, who gives us understanding. All that we would ask the Lord by His Spirit, that we would see in the Word of truth, by the Spirit of truth, all the truth He would teach us. But we're still not done with this picture. So we've got a believer reading his Bible and thinking deeply about it, dependent on the Holy Spirit. But the last truth is this. It completes the picture. We need to pray the Bible into our lives. Let me put it this way. It's a very big mistake, after you've read the Bible, to close it up and just walk away from it. Maybe you've seen this picture or had this experience before. You are reading your Bible, you're meditating in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is operative, and you see some new insight, or you're reminded of some fresh truth, and it thrills your soul, and you think about it, and you close your Bible. And then you close your eyes. And you begin to pray about your day. And about your children. And about that sticky situation. Or that disruptive relationship. Or that decision you have to make. That's a mistake. For you have separated the voice of God from your voice back to God. You see, when we close our Bibles and close our eyes to talk to God, that's when we ought to talk to God about what He said to us. Doesn't that make sense? God, I hear You. I understand what You're saying. Help me to live it. Help me to think seriously about this. Help me to apply this truth today. Oh, Father, give me wisdom. Give me courage. Give me patience. Give me the capacity to do this hard thing You're saying in Your Word. We're praying back into our lives what God has said to us. I think that's a complete picture. We need to read it. And meditate in it. And depend on the Holy Spirit. And pray it into our lives. So we close with a question. How often ought we to do this? Oh, let's make it a more difficult question. Do we really have to do it every single day? I wouldn't want to be legalistic about it. I do know that David says in Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law, your word. It is my meditation," what? Day and night. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." It certainly means we should be frequently. Oh, by the way, how often do you face temptation? Every day? How often do you need wisdom from God? Every day. How often do you need the power and fullness of the Holy Spirit? Daily. How often do you need to ask God for forgiveness and courage? Every single day. So it is at least right to say that no day should go by when we neglect giving thought to the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 16, we read, "I will not neglect your word." Now, I know some of us are thinking, well, I'm just too busy. We do live hectic lives. We've got things to do. Martha understands that, and so do I. But maybe we think a little bit longer and we say, oh, well, I think I can chisel out maybe about 10 or 15 minutes. That's a good start. That's being realistic. Just make sure you use that time well. Maybe read for a few minutes, 4 or 5. Meditate for a few minutes, 4 or 5. Pray it into your life in a few minutes. And depend on the Holy Spirit. You'll be surprised how much over time that will be helpful. I read the story of a mother, a young mother, who loved Jesus and her word, but she had a lot of kids. And that means she's what? Busy. And nobody's busier than a mom. Nobody. And so you know what she did? On Sunday afternoon, her husband gave her some time alone, and she read the Bible for a solid hour. Just slowly and carefully read as much of the Bible as she could for 1 hour. And as she was reading, she had a pencil in her hand, and she underlined small portions of the Bible, 2 or 3 verses or a significant thought, until she had 6 underlined. And through the week, she went back and meditated, having gotten the big picture, because she only had so much time to go deep with God and to pray that truth back into her life for herself and her family. I'm only trying to illustrate that even when we're busy, there's a way, because it is the one necessary thing. Well, we're getting close to the end. So can I ask a question? Are you willing to consider the possibility? I ask it lovingly. Are you willing to consider the possibility that you just might not be too busy? That there are things that can go and ought to. And there's Martha, busy, serving Jesus. What a privilege! And Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha." I love that. Have you ever noticed through the Bible the repetition of God, of names? Abraham, Abraham. Saul, Saul. Jacob, Jacob. At the burning bush, the Lord says, "Moses, Moses." Even on the cross, Jesus says, "My God, my God." You see, that's a Hebraic form of address that is not designed to communicate a tone of harshness. But it's an intimate, tender, personal form of address. And Jesus says to Martha, Martha, Martha. One scholar, J.B. Phillips, who understands this idea of repetition, translates the verse like this. Martha, my dear, you are worried and bothered about so many things. Only one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the better part. That's what I'm asking you at the start of this series. Will you choose the better part? The one necessary thing? Start reading your Bible today. And over the next 3 weeks, we'll talk about how to do those things. But start today. Make the choice. Let us pray. Almighty God, for the glory of Jesus Christ, we ask that you grant to us every time we open the sacred book to so fill us with the Holy Spirit and so give us insight into the Word of God that we understand it and love it and want to live by every word that you speak. Thank you for the privilege of owning a copy of the Bible. Not everyone does. Help us to make good use of it, to find the time to start reading it, that we might know not only the Word of God, but the God of the Word. Bring us, O Holy Spirit, humbly to the feet of Jesus to hear His Word. And, O Holy Spirit, make it precious to us. For His glory and in His name we pray. Amen.